it seems like I have to carry this thing back further and further every week. I think... What's that?
Good cardiovascular
I was supposed to make an announcement, and so I will go ahead and do that. I was supposed to announce that the Pittsburgh Steelers won today 35-10.
Amen.
That the gentleman who amened that is the one who said, "Now you make sure you announce that, and I'll amen it." So, okay. This evening, I'd like us to just kind of focus a little bit on the importance of the Scriptures. And so I'm going to ask you to please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 16 and 17, but our main focus is going to be on that 16th verse, because there's some stuff I think that every once in a while we just kind of need to revisit a little bit and try to get our minds wrapped around this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul is writing to the young preacher, and he says this: "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you took so much time and effort, you spoke through so many people in writing this book, that we might be able to learn and be able to grow and be able to have lives that are blessed by you. And so, Father, I pray that you would open us up a little bit tonight as to the importance of the authority of your word. Now, Lord, we love you and we thank you again for your great love for us. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. As I was considering this, I thought that it would be good for us to just take a little bit of time in this 16th verse. And that's probably where we'll focus all of our time. And I want us to kind of break this apart a little bit, because there's a move in the modern day church today to belittle some of the Scripture and to make it of no importance. I believe that I had shared with you when we were doing the plant there in Columbus, we met with the fellow who was pastoring at that particular church, and we were talking about some of the issues that the people there were very disturbed with in regards to their church, and one of those being the ordination of gays and lesbians in the ministry. Which, by the way, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but the USA Presbyterian Church this week ordained their first homosexual pastor, openly practicing homosexual pastor. That's a sad, sad move, because it goes totally against what the Word of God teaches. Folks, homosexuality is not something people are born with. It's a choice and a decision they make. And God's Word declares that it is sinful. And in fact, God's Word goes so far as to say it's an abomination, which is a little more severe than just common sin, if there is such a thing as common sin. But nonetheless, as we were talking with this gentleman who was pastoring this close to this area, this very conservative religious area. This gentleman, we were talking about the issue of homosexuality, and I said, look, the scriptures teach against it. And he said, where? And I said, well, try Romans chapter 1. Try 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Why not do some study in those things? He said, oh, those are Paul's writings. Jesus never talked about homosexuality. Therefore, it's nothing that we need to be concerned with. The only thing that we have to pay attention to in the Bible are the words in red. And yet, this verse that we're looking at says that all Scripture, Genesis is important. Now here it comes. Leviticus and Deuteronomy are important. Psalms, all of the prophets, both the major and the minor prophets, all of the books of wisdom, all of the historical records and accounts and the kings and the judges. You see, all Scripture is inspired by God. Now, that word inspired means that it is God-breathed. Holy men and women of both Old Testament and New Testament, those writers of the Scriptures were people that God breathed the truth of Scripture into them, and they wrote accordingly. That's why it's valuable. Now, remember, as Paul is writing to Timothy, what is his scriptural reference at that point? It's only the Old Testament. He was a part of those involved in writing the New Testament at that point. And so he's looking at Timothy and he's saying, hey, all Scripture is inspired by God. And his frame of reference is the Old Testament. And if it was inspired by God for people like Paul and for people like Timothy, it's important for us too. Now, we understand that because of living on this side of the resurrection, that there are some ceremonial laws that have been fulfilled by Christ, not destroyed, but fulfilled by Christ. And so there's no longer a need for those particular laws. Not that they were destroyed, but that they were fulfilled. And there's an important difference there. The important difference is that as God had declared that without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission for sins. And in the Old Testament structure, animals, lambs, bulls, goats, all of these doves and that type of thing that people had to make for sacrifice were the sacrifices that were looking towards the time of Calvary. Once Jesus hung on the cross and died, there was no longer a need to sacrifice animals, but there was the perfect Lamb of God who shed His blood that we might have access to the Father. And so Jesus said, look, I've not come to destroy the law, but I have come to fulfill it. And that's what he did on the cross. As a part of his sacrificial experience, it was to fulfill the Old Testament law structure for sacrifices and open up the door for the New Testament activity of grace. And so Paul looks at young Timothy and he says, look, you are going to be preaching and you're going to be teaching the Word of God. And Timothy, you need to know that all Scripture is God-breathed. And so it has profit. It is valuable because of who breathed this Word into man. And so that's where we're coming at from this third verse, or the 16th verse of this third chapter. He says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for, number one, teaching. That was a great part of the responsibility of a pastor back in Paul's day. And in fact, today, a pastor must be able to teach and to handle the Word of God with some insight and some wisdom. It kind of disturbs me a little bit when someone who's ministered for 42 years says, well, you know what, only the words in red are important. Because that's not what the Scriptures say. And that's not what they teach. And I'll tell you, folks, and I'm not belittling the teachings of Jesus, understand me. But if we hold that position, that only the words in red are valuable or are important, then we miss the complete counsel of God as He has declared in His Word. So we can take all of the Old Testament and throw it out. We can take most of the New Testament and throw it out. And we just look at the words in red. We will be weak. We will be anemic. Because not everything that Jesus taught was written down. Did you realize that? Look at the places in the Scripture where it says, and many other things He taught them. Many other things He taught them. There were things that were not written down that Jesus said. Some of it to the people. Some of it to the disciples alone. Some of it in conversations with individuals. But not everything that He said is written down. But within the context of all of the Word of God, from Genesis 1:1 all the way through the end of Revelation, the whole context of God, everything is recorded that is needed for you and I to be able to discover God intimately, to have life eternally, and to have hope presently. Everything is written down that we will have that. And so it's valuable. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching. Notice the next thing that he says. He says that it's profitable for teaching and then for reproof. Does anyone want to take a stab at that word? Not for. We know what the word for means. The word reproof. Jerry does it with sign language. He goes, okay, and you're right, Jerry. As it's good for reproof, that means, and it means more than just the slap on the hand, but it means for enlightenment, into deeper levels of truth and faith, for correction of our path. You know, there's times we need to be corrected for sin, and I understand that. But there's also times when it's not necessarily a sin issue, where we're just kind of getting off into various types of things that are really unimportant. And so the scriptures are good for bringing us back to the center of the road and placing us back on the straight and narrow and kind of getting us out of the bushes for reproof, for revelation of God and the truth of God's Word. Why is that possible? Because God breathed it. That's why. Because He inspired the Scriptures, not man. God wrote this book. That's why it's so valuable to us. It's good for teaching, and it's good for direction, for reproof. Keep us focused. Keep us going on the right path. Now, look at the next one. Because it says, for reproof, for correction. All right? Here comes the harder slap on the hand. Okay? For correction. If we get off in theological concepts that are way out there and are wrong, we return back to the Word of God. In modern day world, we have seen some of this type of junk going on in the Rob Bells and in the Campbells. You know, by the way, we're down to the last 2 weeks before the world ends. Again. You know, Mr. Campbell has come out once again, and the world ends on the 24th of October. Just want to make you aware of that. He has some special insight that no one else has. I'm not sure he's told God yet. But you see, he's one who needs correction. And the scriptures will do that because Jesus himself, in his teaching, some of those words in red. Now, Mr. Campbell ought to read some of those words in red. But he came out in those words in red and he said, look, I don't know when I'm coming back. The angels don't know when I'm coming back. Only my Father knows. Only my Father knows. Now, if Mr. Campbell was paying attention, he would have read that and realized when you start setting dates, you're off somewhere where you shouldn't be, and you need correction. And the Word of God is profitable for that. The Word of God helps in bringing about correction when we get off into the bushes on all kinds of wacky, crazy things. And you know what? If we are people of the Word of God, and we are studying and reading, we don't have to worry. And we won't pay attention to the Rob Bells and to the Campbells of the world that are leading us down a wrong path. Because the Word of God is good to bring us back to center, to correct us when we get off in false teachings. But it's also good to correct us when we involve ourselves in sin. Because the Word of God speaks clearly about what we must do when we get off and involved in sin. And it's valuable for bringing us back into a right relationship with God. So it's important that we study it. Now look at the next thing he says. He says, for correction. And then he says this, for training in righteousness. In other words, the Word of God is valuable for teaching us how to live and how to honor God in our lives, to honor God in our witness and in our testimony, in our communications with other men, in our dealings with other men. The Word of God is good to really set our feet going in the right direction all the time. Why is it authoritative like this? Because it's inspired by God. It is breathed by God. Therefore, it is extremely valuable for giving us every tool we need to live for Christ and to live effectively for Christ. There's a lot in one verse there, isn't there? There really is. Folks, this book is not the book of common sense. It's the book of God inspiration. It is the book that God has breathed to equip us to live effective, faithful Christian lives. That we can be equipped to share our faith with others. We can be equipped to live honorably before others so that we don't sully or dirty the name of Christ. Study this book. As Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly evaluating the scriptures. Study to show yourself approved of God. Don't let it gather dust. Okay? Don't let it sit on a shelf. Or if you're real religious, set on the coffee table so everybody can see it. Let me show you what, study it, read it, allow the Spirit of God to anoint your mind with understanding. Many people don't understand the scriptures because they don't go to the author. Well, it's time for devotions. I will read these three verses. Isn't that something? God bless Grandma. God bless work. God bless the neighbor kids, and God bless this mess that I have made of my life. It's not the way we study the Word of God. We study the Word by going to Him in prayer first. He's the author. He is the one who inspired this book. We go to Him first and say, please, give me some insight so I can understand your word. Show me what you want me to have that I can apply to my life now so that I can live more effectively for you. Please help me to understand what you're trying to say to me through this book. I like Bill O'Reilly. You know, I do. I'm not going to deny it. I like Bill O'Reilly. I like reading the stuff that Bill O'Reilly's written. I really do. But I don't have Bill O'Reilly's attention when I have a question about something he's written. I don't have that privilege. I'm not a part of the inner circle that can say, hey, Bill, what in the world were you thinking when you wrote this? But you know what? The author of this book, I have access to. I have access to God through prayer. And then He speaks through His Word. And bam, suddenly things begin to make sense. Oh, I get it. That's important. If we are to grow in our faith and in our knowledge of God, we have to go to His book. Because that's what He has made available to us. Let's close in a word of prayer. We're going to get out of here a little early tonight. And I want you to wake up Jerry before you leave. All right? Don't wake him up yet. You can wake him up before you leave. Just teasing, brother. Would you please stand? We want to close in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the power that it has. It is the sword of the Spirit that cuts away the things in our life that hinder our walk with You. We thank You for Your Word, for the anointing that You placed upon every one of those writers, and for the value of what You have had to say to us through the Scriptures. And Lord, I ask that You would give us each and every one insight when we read and study Your Word, that You would give us a passion to read and to study Your Word, and that You would help us in such a great way that in studying Your Word we might grow and become more like You. And so, Lord, open our minds, open our hearts, open our spirits to You so that we can become all that You desire us to be. Now, Father, we've got a difficult week coming up because everyone's tough. There's going to be opportunities that You're going to place in our paths to be able to share Your love with someone. Help us to recognize those opportunities and to take advantage of them. There's going to be temptings that are going to come our way and temptations that are going to come our way. Father, let us see that those temptations are from the enemy. And let us resist and fight against that with everything that we have and everything that we are. For we know when we resist Satan, he'll run from us. And so, Father, help us to resist the temptations that we'll face this week. And, Father, there will be difficult moments, but there will also be moments of blessing. Help us to see Your blessings, whether it's in a person's smile, whether it's in helping a child and seeing their responsive gratitude for that. Father, however You pour out a blessing on us, enlarge our hearts, enlarge our minds, give us Your wisdom and Your insight. And then, Lord, bring us together again in Your house where we might worship you. We might learn more of you, and where our hearts might be blessed together. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen.